This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 113 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guests are Brader and Julie, with a different kind of relationship. Here's your hosts, Woody and Lee.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting in the hot seat next to me is Lee. Hey, Lee, what do you know tonight?
Hey, Woody. I don't know a whole lot.
Well, it's Friday. You turned your brain off, didn't you?
I did. With us tonight, we have some great friends of ours that we've known for a while. And it's Prater and his girl, Julie.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kinky Cast.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You guys have an interesting dynamic. One that you don't really run across too often in that, well, you identify as a gay man, correct?
Right.
And Julie, you identify as bisexual?
Bisexual, pansexual, but my preference is generally with women.
Well, you're her dominant or master.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie, you're his slave, correct?
Correct.
Officially, you're married.
Yes.
It's an interesting dynamic.
It works.
Yep.
Well, that's the most important thing. Anything that works is worth having.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why do you think it works so well?
I think Julie and I, we knew each other for a very, very, very long time before we even discussed the possibility of getting married. We'd known each other for 11 some odd years before we got married. And we were really good friends. We saw eye to eye on a lot of things. And even the things that we didn't see eye to eye on, we kind of grew towards compromise with. When we started discussing marriage back in 2010, it was shortly after we got into the lifestyle. And we got into the lifestyle in February of 2010. And we realized very soon after getting into the lifestyle, at that point we thought it was a dominant submissive situation, mm-hmm. where I was the dominant and she was submissive, and that was comfortable for us. As we did further investigation into both our relationship and labels, we discovered that we were actually more of a master-slave dynamic. And obviously, you know, there are some people that have a negative connotation when it comes to those words. So we're careful around who we use the master-slave words with. But for me, it connotates that master-slave dynamic, the master has a lot more control, but they also have a lot more responsibility. It's one of those things where the reason why we identify with that is because of the fact that Julie just doesn't like making decisions. She doesn't like making decisions in anything. So she's laughing beside me, but she knows it's true. Like, she just, if a decision can come down to me, it makes her happier. So there's a lot of responsibility in our relationship, whereas with the dominant submissive relationships that I've been a party to, that I've witnessed, there's a lot more of a power exchange between the two. And the dominant does have that same responsibility, but with the master-slave, it feels like that responsibility is heavier. And of course, that's going to be different with every couple that is out there, but that's why we identify the way that we do. And I think it works because I accept the responsibility that Julie offers me as far as taking care of her. And she accepts the responsibility of being willing to let me make those choices. Because as we all know, if you're the submissive or you're the slave in a relationship, you have more power in most situations. than the dominant or the master, because you have the ability to say, okay, stop, or you have the ability to stop surrendering. You have the ability to change the dynamic even more than the master or the dominant does, or at least that's the way I see it. I think that's why it works for us.
In daily life, you fall under the master-slave dynamic.
Yes.
And then in your recreational life, how does that fit together?
It's basically a situation where whenever we're recreational, as in BDSM?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Generally, in the simplest terms possible, I do what I want, and Julie checks in with me before she does anything, unless she's playing with a woman. If she's playing with a woman, I don't really have the same hesitation. But when it comes to playing with other men, BDSM-wise or sexually, I tend to get really aggressive and very territorial. So I'm not a huge fan of her playing with men without me at least being aware of what she's doing. I don't generally want to necessarily be present, particularly if it goes into a sexual realm. But as long as it stays in a BDSM realm and the male understands the limitations of mine, which is how I see Julie, then, you know, we're good to go. But I'm lucky in the fact that most of the time when she wants to play with females. So it doesn't come up a whole lot.
What about it bothers you?
About her playing with men?
Yes.
Mine. I mean, in the simplest way possible, that's kind of just my mentality of, I peed on it, it's mine. Now, with that said, we don't get into, you know, golden showers and that kind of thing. That's not a kink that either of us have. It's been a situation where we've noticed in the past when she has played with men, I tend to get very aggressive.
Territorial?
Jealous?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially if I don't feel like the male respects me. There have been situations where, and it's a far more comfortable situation for me, if the male allows me to dominate him as well, then it's more comfortable for me because I have more security and feeling like, because I'm a control freak. You know, I think most people who tend to identify as dom or master are probably control freaks.
And tell me it isn't so.
The only time where I've really had major struggle with her playing with a male is when it was somebody who thought they were going to out-dom me. That's a situation where I'm very, very, very hesitant to let Julie play with that male.
So that's a competitive situation, which is not what you signed up for.
Exactly. If there can be a respect exchange, if I respect him and he respects me, then I'm not going to have as big of an issue with it. But if there's any point where I feel like I don't have ultimate say and I can't make decisions for both myself and for someone whom I see as mine. And, you know, I think, and I'm going to let Julie speak up on this, I think when it comes to her, she kind of regards me the same way as far as, like, mine. What do you think, Jules?
It is very gender-based because I do get territorial when Will plays with females at sometimes, that to the point where if I'm not involved in the play, I can't watch it. And I love watching, but I can't watch it.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I just always wonder why that is with people. If you're open enough to have this relationship or any relationship really where it's open and you can play with other people, why have those limitations?
There's open and there's honest and there's communications, but there's also insecurities. And we try to respect that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a part of it is like, even within our dynamic, I understand that there are certain things that, because of my sexual attraction and because of what I crave for intimacy wise and romantically, there are limitations to what I can offer Julie. And there are limitations to what she can offer me. And sometimes seeing that somebody else is fulfilling a need that you either can't or won't fulfill yourselves, you kind of have to back away and go, okay, if I watch this, this may, it may create insecurities later down the road. When I watch her play with another male, it's not a situation where in that moment it bothers me. Mm-hmm. It's more of a later on we're sitting down and we're talking about it and I'm noticing, okay, she reacted to him differently than how she reacts to me. Is there something that I'm doing wrong or could be doing better or could be doing differently? And it kind of, it stirs up emotions that a lot of times aren't going to help me grow. Because they're not a direction that I really want to go in. Yes, we could be lovey-dovey. We could be hand-holdy. We could be all cumply and smoochy and all that kind of stuff. But that's not who I am with Julie. That's not who she is with me. And so I'm okay with somebody else meeting that need, but do I need to have that right up in my face? No, because it's not going to help either one of us.
Okay.
It's sort of just realizing that, you know, different people are going to meet different needs and respecting that and saying, okay, I can step out of the way long enough to let you have that need met. I don't have to be all up in the middle of that.
Do you share after the fact scene details?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends. A lot of times, just being completely blunt, I don't want to hear about what she's done with other girls. It doesn't, I'm not one of those men that wants to hear about two girls together that just, it doesn't.
It I wonder doesn't why. Doesn't it, float it does, your boat, huh?
Exactly. And now, on the other hand, pun intended, Julie wants the blow by blow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a an American red-blooded woman. You know, women tend to like to hear the blow by blow with man on man. Mm-hmm. Boy on boy, whatever. What do they call it? Male on male?
Mono mono.
Yeah, male, yeah.
But I just find that's... especially since you're poly, right? You're also poly. And so you're poly with other males and she's poly with other females.
Yes.
And you have a family. Is it leather or is it just
poly family?
Poly family.
We go into these weird terms of every person you talk has a different feeling and a different understanding of what a leather family is and what a poly family is. And, you know, you have, there's a couple of different terms on FetLife that we've strived to understand. And still, you know, every person you talk to, it's kind of different. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong, what we consider our leather family. These are people that we are very committed to, but not necessarily in BDSM relationships with. So they're people that we talk to about the concerns that we have with regards to our relationship, and they talk to us about concerns that they have in their relationship. Nobody is dom over one another. What we would love to enter into is that we would love to enter into situations where we have males and or females that are part of our poly family who are almost like Julie and I are the head of a harem. And we have, and we've had situations similar to this where, you know, we've had guys that it's been more male than female because Julie's as close to asexual as a person can get without actually being there. She enjoys the sexual aspect, but she's very happy when she's not having sex. With the men that we've always had involved in it, it's been, I've always expressed to them the theory of, okay, you're very important to me, but understand that Julie and I at this point have almost 14 years under our belt. Until you become 14 years worth of important to me, you're going to always kind of be ranked, second, so to speak, below Julie. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we treat it. And we would love to get into a situation where I have a male who is my constant, and she has a female who is her constant, who, you know, and I would kind of be the leader of that particular relationship, and Julie would be the second in command, and then you'd have the third in command, and then the fourth in command, and then how many ever people, and that way if the ship ever starts to go south, we know who's in leadership here. So, yeah. Okay. That's what we would love to get to one day. But there have been, you know, a lot of people who have seen fit to try and get involved in Julie and I's dynamic that have tried to change some aspect of it, or tried to say, oh, well, you know, you're not treating her the way that you should, or your relationship isn't the way that I think it should be. And, you know, those people are very quickly told, okay, you can either respect what we have or you can leave the situation. But Julie and I are very, very happy with the way that our relationship works. And yeah, somebody else coming in and getting involved in trying to change things until that's what Julie and I want, that's just, it's not going to happen.
Well, I won't touch that one.
Go on, touch it. You know you want to.
Are either of you in any kind of a LTR right now?
No. I mean, since we live in Tullahoma now, and Tullahoma, the community here is a great deal smaller than the one that we left in Nashville, and it doesn't allow a lot of opportunity. Plus, we've just found ourselves, I think for me, I think I'm so content in my relationship with Julie most of the time that as much as I want intimacy and sexuality and romance with another male, I feel like for right now, my BDSM needs are kind of met for the most part. Don't get me wrong. If a cute boy comes along and says he wants me to beat him or fuck him or both, then, you know, I'm down for that. But it's just
you're such a slut.
I know.
I say that with all respect.
Sometimes in life you have to take a step back and reevaluate and just not really reevaluate, but maybe just take some time for you.
Yeah. And I think that's where we are. I had a boy that I was considering for a couple of months, and he was here in Tullahoma, and it just came down to a situation where he was being very dishonest. He'd had somebody else that he was in a relationship with, and they had still been talking, and he had led me to the impression that they had severed ties, and it just got hairy for a minute. He was respectful of my relationship with Julie, but there have definitely been a lot of guys, BDSM-wise and just general romance and intimacy, that as soon as they find out about Julie, they're just very off-put, and they won't even consider having any kind of relationship with me, which is fine because, you know, that tells me that it's not somebody that I want to consider anyway.
It's a real test of character.
Absolutely.
It's hard having someone come in on a couple.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the dynamic of that couple is. It's very hard coming in and being the third or the fourth or the fifth or however many you have in your harem. It's hard for them because
right,
everybody's natural instinct is to have that special someone in their life that they don't have to share with anybody else.
Right. Well, I think one of the big things for us is, and one of the things that I tell guys that I'm even considering, whether it's BDSM-wise or otherwise, is that you have to understand that the big sell point with Julie and I's relationship is Julie is the other half of my brain. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of times, because I'm an artist, because I'm creative, that I say or do things that are kind of hard to understand. And Julie's kind of she speaks Willanese. She's able to translate and help people understand. Plus, she gives incredible foot massages. So that definitely, that's a huge sell point.
Yeah, bonus points.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, well, you're not only getting, super hot male, but you're getting a really hot chick who can give killer foot massages.
You know, don't feel bad. I have that same problem trying to find a special someone for myself, because when they see that Woodsman owns me and we're married, they tend to shy away from that. They don't, yeah. They'll play, but they don't want that deep relationship. I think it's easier for women to be in a couple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah. So at least that's been my experience thus far. So,
well, men are pretty territorial. And so a third coming in feels some inferior position.
Yeah.
As it would be.
The thing that I've encountered a lot is that there are guys who will, that it's almost the 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing, where you come into a relationship and you have this dreamy kind of view of how things are going to be. And then you actually get into it and you're like, oh, wow, this isn't all glitz and glam. This isn't all pretty, pretty. This is like a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute sometimes struggle to make sure that you're feeling secure and make your needs are being met and making sure that you're meeting the needs of the people you're in a relationship with. Because realistically, somebody who wants to be in a relationship with me, they have to be in a relationship with Julie, but even more than that, they have to want to be in a relationship with Julie. And a lot of what's happened is that I've been in relationships with guys who thought it's great to be in a relationship with me, but they don't sometimes anticipate the fact that Julie's going to be involved in our relationships. And the same thing has been said of her and the relationships that she's had with. There was a female that she was with for a while, and when they became a couple, the woman had, it seemed like, a bigger issue with me and the way that my relationship worked with Julie than she had with Julie. She wasn't anticipating Julie having a dominant energy. She wasn't anticipating Julie needing to meet my needs first before she met this woman's needs. And so it just becomes a situation where, for people listening, if you're thinking about getting into, whether you're thinking about getting into a triad or a polyfamily or whatever, you really have to figure out, okay, am I not only okay with being in a relationship with all of these different people, but can I celebrate the fact that I'm in a relationship with all these various people? Because if you leave even one person out of that mix, then, you're throwing off the whole recipe and the whole meal is going to go to shit eventually. And that's the reality of it. That's what I found. What do you think, Jules?
I agree. Yes.
One of the biggest green-eyed monsters in poly relationship is the green-eyed time envy monster, where mm-hmm. there's not enough hours in the day to keep everybody happy.
Yeah. I think that probably is a huge issue in the fact that with Julie and I living together and we're around each other, I would say probably about 14 hours or so a day. A lot of times we use very short dialogue with each other. We know kind of how to talk to each other. We finish each other's sentences and that kind of thing. And so a lot of times it is easy for somebody else who's in the picture to feel like, oh, well, I just don't meet the cut. I don't understand the language. I don't
Yeah, but don't you have a negotiation with your potential partners when they come in? This is, and you tell them, this is how we are. This is what we expect. This is how we are with each other. This is how you need to be with us. Is all of that not discussed prior to the onslaught?
Oh, absolutely. But again, we come back to that, oh, I can do that at the beginning, and then a month down the road, wow, I didn't realize how hard this was. We've only had, in the 5 years that we've been married, that we've been a part of the BDSM community, we've only had five significant relationships. And of those five significant relationships, there was only one who, he was smitten with both Julie and I. Like, absolutely, utterly smitten and in love with the way that Julie and I's relationship works.
Mm-hmm.
The other four, they enjoyed being part of the relationship, but it was very obvious within a couple of months of them being a part of our dynamic, it was obvious that as much as we took care of them and as much as the both of us tried to make sure that we catered to their needs and made sure that they felt included in everything that we did, they still felt like the third wheel. Now, one of those, it was a situation where he wanted to bring somebody else into our relationship, but he and I didn't even have that solid of a relationship. So him becoming a dominant to somebody else, which was what he wanted, wasn't really a possibility. Or at least, you know, I tried to tell him that I was open to that possibility further down the road when our relationship was more stable, but he wanted to rush it. He wanted to hurry up and become a dom to somebody else, which would have created a ladder thing because he wanted to dominate somebody else, but he didn't want me to be their dom. So it would have created a structure that we weren't ready for yet. And it's definitely, the way that I work is I'm very circular in the fact that everybody is connected to one another and we all need to understand what our roles are with each other. When it becomes that very clear cut of, okay, I'm dominating X and then X is dominating Y and then Y is dominating Z.
And
it's like,
you're dominating everyone.
Yeah. It needs to be, you know, it just needs to be clearly defined. And it ultimately came down to a situation where I had to say, okay, you're not ready for this. And as a couple and as a poly family, we're not ready for this. So if this is something that you really want to pursue, then you need to pursue it on your own, because this is going to create instability in a structure that is very finely tuned and working very well, and I'm not there.
Okay.
And Julie, in that situation, what were your thoughts as far as that relationship, how it ended? I think you can verbalize this. Just give yourself pause and give yourself time to do it.
It basically went from you know, I'm so happy in what we have, but now I'm going to go do this and I'll see you when I see you. His focus definitely changed and there was a lot less communication. And so it wasn't this is what I'm doing over here and this is what I'm doing with you. It was more drastic than that.
When communication breaks down, then things fall apart. And also, when people start holding back information, you know, the sin of omissions, things like that, breeds a distrust.
Yeah.
And I think we've all seen that in, first off, in vanilla relationships, and then you add poly and it gets much more complex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Julie and I stress both to each other and to anybody who's even considering being a part of our relationship. The biggest cores of the way that we work is honesty and communication and being able to trust. And you're absolutely right. If those things aren't there, then I would dare say that having any kind of relationship is going to be virtually impossible. And, you know, Julie and I are very honest with each other. We communicate obsessively so. And we have that trust. I know at this point I could go through Julie's phone and I would be able to tell you every person that she talks to. And it's not a I force that on her. It's something that she does respectfully to me. And the same thing with me. There's not a person that is in my phone. There's no point. And this is the part where the territorial becomes a difficulty, is that there are people out there that will say, well, this is mine, like as far as their phone goes or as far as their computer goes. And they say, well, you know, if you ever go through my computer or you go through my mail or you go through my whatever, fill in the blank, if there are secrets, then it's hard enough to have a monogamous relationship. Having a poly relationship and having any kind of secrets, it's almost, I would dare even say it is
It is
impossible.
Oh,
yeah.
impossible. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you get into that headspace of, well, I don't feel comfortable when people go through my phone because they might see something that talking to so and so. Well, then you definitely don't need to consider a poly relationship because multiply that by the emotions of three or four or how many ever people, yeah, it becomes a war zone. And that's not healthy for anybody. And, you know, I want to be in healthy, fruitful relationships. And so, yeah, it's with Julie and I, it's like I said, I could go through her mail, her purse, her phone. I could go through her laptop, and she can do the same with me. There's nothing there that isn't absolutely out in the obvious, out in the open, because that's how we have chosen to be in our relationships with each other.
Well, you have nothing to hide.
Yeah. And so, you know, if somebody else comes into the relationship and they're one of those people who's duplicitous and they're talking to other people behind our backs, or whether it's gossip about us or they're talking about needs that aren't being met, or they're talking about things that they're not then involving us in the conversation for, well, then eventually that is going to breed that distrust, that's going to breed insecurities, that's going to breed dishonesty. And it's just that's not what either one of us want with each other or anybody else.
You brought up something interesting. You had mentioned needs not being met. And if there is a negative wave that starts to flow because people feel that they're not getting what they want, and then one of the other partners hears it back through the grapevine, that is very destructive.
Yeah.
If you can't be upfront and say, you know, we really need to work on this because I'm not feeling it, or I really don't need that, whatever it is, whatever your needs and desires are, if you can't be honest about them, then you don't have a relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's why communication is so important. Like, I myself sometimes have issues verbalizing what my needs are or hush or kind of what I'm feeling. So how I circumvent that is I write it down. And once I kind of get it out in a way that gets it out of my brain, then I can give that to Will and he can kind of see where I'm at.
Yeah. And I think a big thing with Julie and I, and you'd asked at the beginning what helps our relationship work, is, you know, as much as Julie and I love each other, and I would take a bullet for her, I would, you know, I would move an ocean for her, you know, teaspoon by teaspoon if I had to. But even with all that love, we can't be everything to one another. There are things that I love and enjoy, whether they're going to a hockey game or whether it's going to see a movie that I'm really excited about. There are needs that I have and wants that I have that Julie's not interested in. And the same is true of her. And I think that, you know, I feel like a lot of the monogamous relationships that I've seen that have foreclosed because of the fact that they're trying too hard to be everything to each other.
Right.
And when you start to get into that headspace of, well, I love going to, let's say, live theater, and you realize that your partner is not into live theater, then you make a choice. Okay, do I want to force my partner to go to live theater, or do I want to find another friend who is into theater and go to theater with them?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing, is like, some people are creating poly families without even knowing it, because they have different people that meet different needs. It's not cheating on anybody. As long as you're being honest about it and you're being forthright with, okay, I have this need, you don't have any interest in this, so I'm going to go do it with somebody else. You create a poly family sometimes without even there being an element of BDSM in there.
And you're not condemning somebody for not doing it also.
Exactly. Because anytime that there's something that I want to do and Julie really doesn't want to do it, I can't then turn around and judge her and go, well, you never do what I want to do. Well, that's not true. Look at all the things that she does for me that she didn't necessarily want to do, or the things that she does for me joyfully. Do I really want to throw everything in the blender and say, will you never meet my needs, when she meets, you know, easily 80, 85% of them? Mm-hmm. It's just that 15% that I got to kind of go, okay, well, she doesn't have a penis. I really like penises.
Well, so, I do, but it has batteries.
And we don't share that. And that's one of the few things we don't share.
Nah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't leave it be.
Where did we lose control of this?
Oh, that was pretty good. I think that's very important what you said. I think not only is it good that you have other outside activities, whether they're by yourself or with other people, it's good for you to have that space that is just yours.
Yeah.
Everyone needs that me time and that me space.
And if you're constantly around the person you're with, you never have stories to tell them. I mean, it's like, oh, well, I had this really great day at work. I know, I was there. It's like, okay, apparently we need some time separate of each other.
Right. So I noticed you guys were into healthier activities as of late, and you're looking really good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Between the two of us, we've lost nearly 150 pounds.
Yep.
Oh, my.
That's really something.
That is awesome. I'd be curious to know how you did all that.
I'll let you tell this story, because I tell it all the time.
But you tell it so well.
You got this.
Come on, Julie. You can do it.
Okay, so she's going to force me to tell the story. What you don't see is that as we're sitting here, Julie is gently nudging me, and doing things to make me talk, because she just looks at me with those big old puppy dog eyes and goes, but I don't want to talk. Yeah. I'm going to start it, but you're going to take it over. So we started, there's this local program here in Tullahoma that is called Lose to Win. And it's part of a bigger national thing, but it's done by Markram's Pharmacy, which is a local pharmacy here. It's mom and pop's place. And Julie decided that she really wanted to do this in September of last year. And then I'm going to let you take over from there.
Okay, so apparently I am being forced to talk.
Yay!
Let me back up a little bit. If I'm going to talk, I'm going to give more of a backstory, I guess.
Okay.
I've struggled pretty much my entire life with my weight. My top weight was 420, and that was probably back in about 2007. And I struggled, I fought And I've had doctors tell me that I need surgeries, that I need to take these pills. And I was stubborn and I said no, because I wanted to do it myself. But I had so many different things that I tried and I got a little success in, and then it just stopped. And I guess I'd gotten to a point where I'm not going to stop. So when this opportunity came up for this competition, I jumped on it and I dragged Will with me. And he wasn't too terribly interested at first, but after that informational meeting where he got kind of more information, it just kind of spiraled into a whirlwind of health and fitness and lifestyle changes. And it's been absolutely incredible. I've lost over 70 pounds in 7 months.
Wow, that's 10 pounds a month.
And Will's pretty much the same.
Well, he didn't have that much to lose, surely.
Well, I mean, so my health journey has been much differently paced than Julie's, obviously. I think at my top weight, I was probably 270. Which, when you think about it, you know, 420, 270, that's a huge difference. But I think the thing that kind of sparked my want for this was, of course, first and foremost, seeing Julie wanted it really badly. But the other thing was, I realized that it was difficult to bend down and tie my shoes. I realized that I would walk, you know, generally less than a mile and get winded. I realized that my knees were just hurting all the time. My ankles hurt all the time. And, you know, I'd see pictures of myself and cringe as far as how I looked. And, you know, I will definitely say that it is so much easier to get involved in a health journey when you have somebody who has your back that's pushing you forward. Julie had investigated a lot of different weight loss things. I'd investigated a few. We didn't start taking pills. We didn't start some radical new diet. We just started educating ourselves. We started learning a lot about the different types of foods that we were putting in our bodies. We started learning a lot more about the importance of watering your body. Because our entire lives we've been told, oh, you're supposed to have 64 ounces of water every day. That's not true. You're supposed to have half of your body weight in water every day.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that go, well, I drink my 64 ounces of water a day. Why am I not losing weight? Well, because your body a lot of times will tell you that you're hungry when really you're dehydrated.
Yeah, exactly.
We upped our water intake. We upped how much physical activity we were doing every day. We went from Julie and I barely being able to walk a mile to we're doing a 13-mile relay race this weekend.
Wow.
Julie has gone from having difficulty walking to now she's jogging and almost running. I'm teaching Zumba. We have affirmations that we do every day. And one of the affirmations that we do is, I love to exercise and stay active. And I mean, it's just something that you get into that mentality of, I hate doing this. And so you stop doing it. But once you realize the healthy benefits of what you're doing and how much better you feel, and honestly, a lot of times how much better you look, when you start dropping off that weight, it just changes everything for you.
You guys look great. I'm so happy to see you guys looking as good as you're looking.
Thank you.
It's
a fight.
Yeah. Well, Woodsman's lost about 55 pounds.
That's awesome.
I found it, but I'm not doing as well as he is, so I'll have to figure something else out. We're going to wrap this up because we've been talking a good while now, but we have a lot of great information. It's been a pleasure talking to you two tonight. Prater, as always, you are very descriptive. You talk like a writer.
I don't know why you would say that.
So on our show page, you'll get links to some of Prater's writings.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate it. We're always happy to share our story with anybody that we can. And absolutely, we're more than open and receptive to questions. And there's not a whole lot, like I said, there's not a whole lot that we are secretive about. We talk about the lifestyle as openly as we can. Obviously, living in a small town, it's a bit more hindered. But
right, yeah.
Online, we blare out loud and proud who we are and what we are. So
awesome.
And even if it's questions about health, we are definitely open to that. I love sharing my story.
Okay.
And knowing how hard I fought over the years, I want to make it easier for someone else so they don't have to fight as hard as I did.
Fantastic.
And we also have a show coming up with a guy that is all about fitness and healthy living in the lifestyle.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll need to go to our webpage and just click on it.
Okay.
Absolutely. And
it's very easy. Even I can do it.
All right.
No excuses.
Prater, Julie, thank you for sharing your story with us tonight. We really do appreciate it, and it's great to hear from you.
It's great to talk to you guys. And if you ever want to talk again, please feel free. We'll be happy to do it.
You have been listening to episode 113 of The Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you Jim, Dom, Keeping Fit in Kink.